Well, imagine what life would be like without celebrations. And I'm speaking of those markers, those sort of milestones that the Lord puts on our way. We're all different, but we all have reason at some stage to celebrate. Now, you can see that Chris and Anna are still celebrating their wedding. And those of us who've been married for some years, I pray that we'll still be celebrating that day. I know there was at least one couple who celebrated their 25th anniversary, and it's a celebration today for you, Rahila, Axel, and Annalie. This is a day you won't forget. This is a day to which you're going to look back, and you're going to say, thank you, Lord. I promise you that you will look back, and you will say that. Thank you that you, because salvation is of God, right? So thank you, God, that you gave me the eyes to see Jesus and to love him, and then thank you that you gave us the boldness to witness to that, not to be ashamed of Jesus who laid down his life for us. Well, that's why I want to just for a few moments, when a preacher says a few moments, don't take him too literally, right? A few moments, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses, it's really verse 17, but let me read from verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 14. When you hear the word of God, remember it is the word of God. It is God's word to your heart. Listen to it in that way. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, the all being those who believe in him, those who are in Christ, or who will be in Christ. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, key verse, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Don't you find it great that 2,000 years after an ordinary man to many people, Jesus was born in an obscure little town? Don't you find it amazing that people are still coming to faith, still being baptized? Now, I know that the focus of the text is not on baptism. You can go to other texts for teaching on baptism, but I want us to think about what goes on before baptism, what gives meaning to the ceremony, what gives meaning to the ring if we get married, the transformation that causes believers to say, I am a follower of Jesus, and I want the world to know it. I think it's very easy for us, dear family of God, to look at those who are being baptized and to rejoice just for them. I don't want you to stop there, right? I think every baptism is saying to us, are you sharing in what God is doing in his world? Is this picture that you've seen, is this real for you? Is it real in your heart? Every baptism calls us to look back to the past for a while, to focus on the present, and then to look forwards to the future. Those are the three truths here in verse 17. And I want you to notice that to follow Jesus is to make a clean break with your past. See that in verse 17? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old, gone, over. And I love 2 Corinthians because here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is just, you want to know what Paul is like? Well, read 2 Corinthians because he's very honest. He's opening up his heart. And he's really saying to us that he is who he is, and he has the message that he has for no other motive but that he is in Christ. That's the word. That's the phrase that he uses. You can be many things in life. You cannot be a disciple unless you are in Christ, first of all. By the way, did you know that phrase, in Christ, if you're reading your New Testament, you won't often come across the word Christian, but the word in Christ, the phrase in Christ, occurs around 165 times, and it kind of says use your imagination. Now, not use your imagination to imagine what isn't real, but use your imagination to try and imagine what is a kind of a mystery. And when we had Chris and Anna standing before us over there. And marriage is a kind of a mystery because the two become one. So Chris is not Chris without Anna, and Anna is not Anna with Chris. And that's kind of what it means to be in Christ. To be in Christ is to be able to say, I may be Paul in name, I may be Sladen in name, I may be Alex in name, but actually, I am Paul in Christ. I am Alex in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's why I love being in a church like this. Every Sunday, I get the treat. I look around, I see many different nationalities, many different backgrounds. But actually, I only see two groups. But in fact, I can't even see two groups. God does. So today, you're either in Adam, whatever race you are, you're either still in a state of rebellion against God, why do I need Jesus? Or you're in Christ. You've turned to Christ. You know Christ. You love him. And as you were baptized today, folk, you were saying, we are in Christ. We are not in religion. I mean, religion can't help us. Before I became a Christian, I was a religious sinner. Went to church every Sunday because kind of that's what we did in our family, right? I wasn't in Christ. Didn't know Christ. Religion couldn't help me. Religion just said, you're not going to be accepted unless you perform, unless you keep the rules. But neither is trying to live without God good news either. Religion says, behave well, and I know in my heart, I need help in behaving well. I need a new life to please God. And irreligion says, be who you are. Just do whatever you want. And Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. So the center of the gospel is not a list of rules. It's a person. We call him Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And I want to say to you who are baptized today that whatever your past experiences have been, and we heard some of them in the testimony, some of us didn't know. We didn't know. Maybe that helps us to be a bit more sensitive to one another, where people feel free to share, if they feel free to share. But I want to say to you that from now on, your identity card. I just got a new identity card recently. Your identity card, each one of you says, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. That's your security. All of us have sinned. All of us fell short of the glory of God. We couldn't work ourselves up to righteousness that pleases God in his holiness, but he came to us. If anyone is in Christ, and think about the impact that that has. I want to say to you who baptized today and to we who know and love Jesus that when we become Christians, the world doesn't stop being sinful, nor do we become perfect. There'll be times in the world when it'll be easy to rejoice. You'll pass your exams. You'll fall in love one day. There's much in this world that is broken and is difficult. The Bible tells us why. Because I'm a new creation doesn't mean that God's going to zap me out of the world. But baptism is a picture that God is making all things new. And one day the whole universe is going to be restored for God. Nothing is going to keep Jesus from filling this world with his glory and his beauty and his righteousness. I want you to think of that today, and as you try and think of what it means to be in Christ, I want you to think of the Son. Actually, it's pretty difficult to think of the Son sometimes, living in Belgium. I want you to think of the Son. And you can't have the Son without the Son's light. You can't have the Son without the Son's heat. So being one with Jesus, the Son, means, how do I know I'm a Christian? If I am in Christ, if Christ is in me, I know the light of loving what he loves. That's the discipling life. That's the life of discipleship, loving what Jesus loves and hating what Jesus hates. To follow Jesus means you make a clean break from the past. It's over. And then, of course, it means, praise God, it means that you abide in Jesus in the present. I mean, here's the very heart of baptism. Paul says it for the person who's in Jesus, who is no longer Adam, in Adam. The old things have passed away. And then he says, literally, see. That's what the text says. They have become new, as if everybody will be able to see it in your life. I like that world look. Look at what? Well, not our efforts to keep ourselves close to Jesus. Until that time comes when we will be like him, there is a new power at work in our lives, Paul is saying us, that gives us our new identity. And I want to link this with what he says earlier in verse 15, where he says, for Christ's love compels us. It controls us. Great word. That word control speaks of a pressure that produces action. You can't stop it. Who likes to cycle here? How many of you like to cycle? So few. A country like Belgium. I see cycles everywhere. Well, some of you cycle because you have to get to work. Or you cycle because you enjoy it. Unless you have an electric bicycle today, everything is made easier for us. Well, unless you have an electric bicycle, you've got to use pedal power. What drives the pedals so they can turn the chain, so the chain can turn the axle, which turns the wheel? Your power, your energy has to do it. There's nothing the pedal can do. It's the pressure that produces the action. The bicycle gets from A to B because it was created to do that, to be controlled by a power outside of it. Yeah, if you're a Christian, it's the power of the gospel. And I love the way that the Old Testament prepares us for this beautiful picture of baptism to show the power of the gospel in our lives. Just come with me for a little while to the Old Testament. Very different stories, but the stories about water, they've got one theme. Noah, you're building an ark. Aren't you a foolish person? Sometimes we will be called foolish for following Jesus more often than we like. Noah gets into the ark with his family. God shuts the door. And through the power of God, he brings him safely through the waters of judgment into new life. Or how about Moses? There's one thing in the way between going back to slavery in Egypt and freedom ahead. It's the Red Sea. Moses, how are you going to be rescued? Jehovah parts the waters so that they can stand on dry land and get to the other side. Rahila, Axel, and Annalene, so it is for you. Today you've said to us, when you were baptized, you said to us very clearly, so clear, in the picture of baptism, that all this is from God. In fact, Paul says that if you read on 2 Corinthians, all this is from God. It's the power of his love that compels us to stand up and confess his name. And this is for you. If you say to me, I love Jesus, but baptism is for other people, it's not for me. Do you know what the first act of obedience was in the public ministry of Jesus? Do you know that Jesus walked not 40 kilometers, 50 kilometers, 100 kilometers, 100 kilometers from Nazareth to Jordan because he was loved by his Father and he wanted to identify with all righteousness for sinners? If you're in Jesus Christ, you will have a new ambition. And I love what Paul says in verse 15. What's our new ambition? He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Listen carefully. To live for Christ is to live like Christ. Can I say it again? To live for Jesus is to live like Christ, who is Jesus. And now you can think of yourselves as you really are, those of you who baptized. One of the films that I love watching, it's a lovely family film, by the way. You can watch it with your kids. Who's seen the musical Annie? Have any of you seen the film Annie? Oh, good number of you. And I love it because here's this orphan, right? She's an orphan, and she's got just a terrible lady who's looking after the orphanage. She tries to escape, and then Miss Hannigan gets her back into the orphanage, and she has to clean every day. She's cleaning. And then one day, a billionaire takes an interest in her and sends his assistant. And Grace, his assistant, comes and takes Annie to this beautiful home. And she says to her, Annie, what would you like to do first? You remember what Annie says? Let's begin by cleaning the floors. She still thinks she needs to work, right? Grace wants to know the fun thing she would like to start her new life doing. And it's a while before Annie realizes, I'm no longer an orphan. I can be who I really am. And she wants to share her joy with others. I can see you saying amen and yay. Baptism is a vow to live for Jesus, and he will take us only forward. Let me end with this. You're following Jesus. You've made a clean break with your past. You're abiding in Jesus. You're walking with Jesus in the present. And then to be in Christ is to expect renewal in the future. If anyone is in Christ. So there's the power to live the Christian life. It's no longer I who live. Christ who lives in me. The old things have gone. So I can turn my back on that. There's the potential to live a fruitful life for Jesus. And the new things have come. There's the promise for everything that lies ahead. You know, baptism is wonderful because of what it says. But baptism is also wonderful because of what it says about what's coming in the future. You know, none of us know what the future holds. Some of these folk who were baptized didn't know they were going to be baptized on this day. Some of you went through this week through experiences you didn't know you'd have to go through. But there are two things that every Christian can know. And baptism testifies to that. Your future is in Christ. It's not in you. Your future is in Christ. From the fullness of his grace, John says in the Gospel of John, we have all received grace upon grace. So I have grace when I'm baptized, but then I have grace as I live following Jesus, and I have grace for the future. And with every day that I walk with Jesus, there is new grace for a new day, and there is more grace for the next day, because God is in the business of renewal. Now, I know that those of you who are baptized were very nervous. You were very polite, but I suspect you wondered if my hands would hold you. Now, here's the thing I want you to remember. When God rescues us, when God puts us in Christ, he doesn't promise that we will escape the waves. He doesn't promise that there will be no more bullying. He doesn't promise that we won't feel the flames. What he does promise is that he'll keep us in his love, to shape us, to renew us. That's all I need to know as I live my life in this world. I mean, there have been many who've tried to predict the future. Can you believe in 1933, after the maiden flight of a 10-seater Boeing 727, can you believe the engineer who built that plane said, there'll never be a bigger plane built? How wrong he was. The God who sent Jesus to give you a hope in the future not only knows what tomorrow will bring, he knows how to use each day to make you, that's his mission. He's not going to stop like Jesus. So let me end with this. Christ is your future, not just tomorrow. That's what it means to be in Christ. I wish I could say to you, but I know my own heart, I wish I could say to you that your baptism means that you're suddenly going to be perfect. But if Christ is in you, I can say something that's even more hopeful, that as the Spirit is renewing you day by day, he is preparing you for a new heavens and a new earth. Each of us has a journey in life. But all of us who love Jesus are not going nowhere. You get up out of the water to follow Jesus to a day when Paul says in Romans 8 verse 19, the whole universe will be made new. And listen to this, the sons of God, or if you like, the daughters of God as well, will be revealed. Who God's family in Christ are will be made clear. And that's where we're going. I find that very wonderful, because amongst the sons and daughters of God who will be revealed, promise of God. If he saved you, promise. Amongst that family will be a perfect Rahila, radiating even more joy than you already have because of Jesus. In that new creation will be a mature Axel, more mature than you already are for your age, more like Jesus than you could ever imagine, and a grateful Anneli, grateful, even more than you are now, singing the praises of Jesus Christ, the King who brought you into his family. Let me ask you today, I hope you've joined in their joy. That's fantastic. But are you in Christ? Not your husband, not your fiance, not your child, not your parent. Are you in Christ? Is your faith in Jesus? Is your ambition to make Jesus look good in this world? You cannot be in Adam and also in Christ. The man who loves his life will lose it, but the man who hates his life in the world will keep it for eternal life. No half baptism, no half commitment. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. In a moment, we're going to sing. What else can we sing? But thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you've paid. In love you came and showed. Amazing grace. But let's take some moments to reflect on what God has said, and we'll sing after that. Lord, baptisms are wonderful. They're wonderful because they speak not of us and our best efforts. There's no command in the scripture for someone to baptize himself. And that's not there for good reason, because we're not saved by ourselves. We're not saved by religion. We're not saved by our good works. That's the only thing that can save is the work of Jesus, the power of his blood. The only one who can get us safely all the way into the new heavens and the new earth. It's not a religion. It's not trying to do things our own way. It's trusting in Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. I pray today for anyone who's here and who's trying to work out who Jesus is. I pray that today they may see Jesus in the beauty of the gospel portrayed before our eyes, as we saw baptism and the power of Jesus Christ. I pray for others who may be here and maybe have been Christians for a long time but have never been baptized. I pray that today may be the day when they say, well, if Jesus was not ashamed to die for me, well, why would I not want to go through the waters of baptism and testify to his saving grace? And then, Lord, for those of us who can remember our baptism, for some of us maybe 25, 30 years ago, I want to be able to renew those promises every day and say, Lord, continue to teach me how to follow you, not with half a heart, because you're not a half-hearted God, but teach me to follow you with more zeal, more love for Jesus, more love for others, more love for the gospel. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Every night I sing and change.
Father, thank you that we step out into our mission field now, knowing that you are worthy and knowing that incredibly you have made us worthy to bear your name, and we want to live worthy lives as disciples of Jesus. And so may the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of those who know and love him, both now and forever. And we want to say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. And God's people together say, Amen. Amen.